Hey, and welcome to the Points to Paradise podcast, where we discuss all things travel-related, travel inspiration, and credit card points and miles. I'm your host, Megan Lanford, a stay-at-home mama, vacation lover, and small-town girl who learned how to travel for nearly free. Me and my family went from taking maybe one vacation a year to over 6 trips in a year. I want to show you exactly how to make you and your family's travel goals come true. I want to show you that traveling to dream destinations is possible without ever having to worry about how much money it'll cost you. So if you're ready to be inspired and start traveling with your family for nearly free, you've come to the right place. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy to have you here. Today is going to be a really great conversation. We have Madison Gammons here. She is a money and mindset expert. Welcome, Madison.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am equally very excited for the conversation today.
Yes, today is going to be a good one. So I'm going to go ahead and give a little intro on Madison and what she does and what we're going to talk about, and then we're just going to dive right in. So Madison is a money and mindset coach who works with women to help them feel confident with their finances. She is a first generation wealth builder, which is amazing. She had to overcome her own limiting beliefs about money and now teaches you to do the same. And over the last 7 years, she has paid off over $70,000 in debt and now has a net worth of $300,000 with different investments in real estate, which is amazing. And she is now coaching you how to do the exact same thing. So today we're going to kind of just talk about if you are someone who is like afraid of credit cards or you have debt, but you're wanting to get into the travel points game. She is going to give us a lot of juicy little tips on that. And then we're just going to talk all things travel and credit card points. So Madison, so happy to have you here.
Yay. Oh my gosh. This is like my favorite thing to talk about, obviously money, but then yeah, wrapping it into the world of credit cards and travel and how to like make the system work for you, which I'm really a big fan of. So I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly. And we talk about traveling for free all the time on here. We get very tangible, how to use your credit card points, living your best life. But honestly, living your best life needs to encompass your money, your finances. Like if you're in debt and you're struggling with your money, but you're traveling on credit card points, it kind of counteracts. So it's really good to have Madison here so that we can honestly live our best life in every aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like such a proponent of living such a holistic, healthy life. Money plays such a major role into our mental health, our physical health, like the stress and anxiety that comes from that, especially if you are in debt. That was obviously a major part of my story. So I definitely believe in, like I said, a very holistic approach to money and just understanding like how it plays into every facet of our life. Because while I obviously coach in the personal finance and the money mindset space, to live a good, full, fulfilling life, you've really got to make sure that you're kind of like crossing your T's and dotting your I's and making sure that everything across the board in your life is really operating at full capacity. So that's absolutely something that I'm all about.
Yes. And we talk about that here on the podcast a lot. Like if you're going on vacation and you're traveling and yeah, you paid for your flights and your hotels for free, but you're strapped for money to go on excursions or food or things like that, it really isn't allowing you to like fully enjoy the vacation. So being able to have your finances in order and have the travel points on top is really like the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I have experienced traveling on maxed out credit cards, and I have experienced traveling on not maxed out credit cards. And let me tell you, the ability to enjoy the moment is obviously so much higher when you're not like, wait, I'm afraid to open this up. Like I'm swiping left and right, but I don't really know like what this is going to mean for me on the back end. Or you just like YOLO on vacation and then you get home and you're like, holy shit, what did I just do? Yeah. So there's definitely some strategy there. Credit cards are fabulous, but my journey with credit cards did not start out utilizing them to my benefit. It was definitely, I mean, utilized to my benefit to pay for stuff, right? But like I was getting taken advantage of, right? When we think about how credit card companies profit off of us when we're not able to keep up on those payments and pay them off every single month, and like you are just paying those minimum payments, it's a totally different world when you're able to pay them off and actually take advantage of the free points and the benefits and all of that without having to accrue high interest debt, which is obviously the name of the game when it comes to credit cards. So yeah, way more fun when you can operate in a better capacity utilizing them.
Yeah. So for people who are traveling with credit cards and points, the number one thing I always say is pay off your credit cards in full every single month so we're not accruing interest. What would you say to someone who maybe has a lot of credit card debt or student loans or something and is wanting to get into travel points, but wants to get that paid off and get set up financially with a good credit score before they start? What would you tell them to do or start?
Yeah, I mean, putting a good plan in place and kind of, first of all, like, check yourself, right? I think so many times, like, we don't have a full understanding of, like, how much credit card debt are we actually in and what is the payoff strategy and plan, right? If you don't know, if you are just making the minimum payments on your credit card, you are literally just paying interest. Like, you're barely paying down the principal of the balance. So it's going to take you an extraordinary long time to get out of debt. So I think if you're looking at credit cards, yeah, you obviously want to build a plan to get to a point where you are able to pay off the balance in full every single month. So figuring out how much more can you allocate from your weekly or your monthly balance to pay down those funds to a point where you are in a good spot. Like, that's gonna be really like a great place to start. Now, what I do also really want to instill in people is that there is such a good balance. Like, I'm not an advocate for like not living life until you completely get out of debt, right? Because that could take a long time. It could take a long journey. And when you go into like a very restrictive mindset when it comes to paying off debt, right? It's like a diet. Nobody likes to be told like you can't enjoy chocolate or carbs or any of your favorite things for the next year and a half until you hit your weight. Like, that's not realistic. That's not gonna help you get there. So I think creating milestones and little achievements are a really great way to help gamify almost and enjoy the journey of paying off that debt. So set up a solid plan where you can figure out like, hey, how much more can you allocate to paying down the balance of those credit cards? And at the same time, what I would encourage is starting to set money aside every single month in like a high yield savings account where it is more fun money, where you, when you hit a certain goal amount in that account, you're able to allocate towards something fun. So I think there's definitely like, you got to find a balance that works for you. And that's why I love this space, because there is no one size fits all. There's obviously like a recommended path to take when we're talking about getting out of debt, but you can have fun with it. Like, you can enjoy it. You can gamify it. Like, there's just so much more fun. And that's really what I want to do, is like bring more fun into the personal finance world and not make it this like, oh, like anxiety ridden approach to managing your finances. So just know that like, you don't have to sacrifice travel until you get out of it. But I do think understanding where you're at in debt and, you know, based off of your current payoff model, when are you going to be able to pay off those credit cards? And once you start to like actually conceptualize and visualize that, I think it's really easy to be like, you know what, maybe I can find a little bit more money to pay off this. And I also, I don't know, you know, your perspective, but there's also like zero balance transfer options. I don't always recommend that. It really does depend on like where you're at, because you don't want to just like open up the field for now racking up more and more credit card debt. So you definitely like, you know, use responsibly, but there are some kind of creative things you can do out there as well.
I love that you said like you want to make it more of a journey and not make it feel so icky. And I love the journey part of it, because it really shouldn't feel so bad that you have that debt and you want to pay it off so that you can live a full life. And so make that a fun journey so that when you get there, you're more proud of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to like celebrate along the way, right? Like, that's the way our brain works. If you're just waiting for this like far out destination, it's going to be really hard to get there. So setting up little micro wins and rewards along the way is a really fun way to think about the journey.
Yeah. I also love that you said a high yield savings account. I actually just opened up my first one a couple of weeks ago, and then we opened up one for my daughter too, so that she can have some money when she turns 18 that we give her. So very great tip. Definitely open up one. I opened one with American Express. I know there's tons of them, but it's a really good way to have your money make money for you. And then you have some travel spending money as well.
Yeah. And just for everyone that doesn't know the difference between a normal savings account and a high yield savings account, if you have a savings account at like a normal large institution, I'm talking the Wells Fargo's, the Bank of America's, the Chase's of the world, they are notoriously terrible at saving rates, meaning that if you are keeping a large sum of money in a savings account with them, you are likely earning 0.01% interest on the money that you have saved there. If you move it to a high yield savings account, which take literally 5 minutes to open up, so easy, going rates right now, I mean, we're, you know, in the tail end of 2024, are around 4.5% to 5% are what you can still find. You know, they're not always going to be as high as they are right now. They definitely are reflective of like what's going on in the market, but you can move your money over there and just start making money on your money, meaning that you could be making 4% to 5% interest on the funds that you have sitting there that were literally already just sitting there. And it's one of the quickest ways to start making your money make money and start to see, like, every single month at the end of the month, I literally get a payment on my money that's sitting in the bank account. And I think, you know, if you're not incentivized enough with that, I think the other thing that's really interesting to know about, if you're keeping your money in just a normal savings account where you're making no interest on it, the banks are lending your money out and they're making interest on it. And that, when I learned that, I was like, well, hold up here. You're taking my money, not paying me for it. You're lending it out. You're making money on it. I want to make money on my money, right? Right. So you take that power back, right? I'm all about, again, making sure, like, you're utilizing the systems and, like, they're not taking advantage of you. So
We love utilizing the systems for sure, especially with banks, because they can do it.
Yeah, straight up. They get enough money out of us.
All right, let's talk about maybe somebody who has their finances in order, they have their debt paid off, but they don't trust themselves opening up a credit card. They think that if they get a credit limit of $10,000, they're going to go on some crazy shopping spree. So we talk a little bit of woo-woo over here and tangible, so I know you do the same. So let us know what to do if that is you.
This is a good question. I think that money in itself, there's so much self-trust here. Like, that's really at the root of what we're talking about when we are expanding our financial capacity to invest, to grow our wealth, to take big, scary steps. Recognize that fear that you feel, right? If you're, like, not trusting yourself, a lot of times our brain jumps into this, like, fear, flight, fight, freeze mode, right? Because our brain's trying to keep us safe. It's trying to keep us in a controlled environment. It's trying to keep us in the known. And when we're trying to do something new or scary, right, it's trying to find little micro ways to prove trust to yourself. So if you're looking at opening up a credit card, first of all, do research on a credit card that is going to excite you and is going to benefit you in a way that actually adds value and adds something to your life. So once you get really excited about a credit card, even if you get approved for a $10,000 limit, don't go spend $10,000, right? If you're somebody that's already got your finances in a really good spot, you're likely have a pretty good grasp on how much money you're spending every single month. So just don't necessarily feel like, okay, now I'm gonna go change that. Maybe what you could do is start small. Maybe you give yourself a $500 a month limit and you just wanna, like, prove to yourself, okay, I put $500 on this card. I'm gonna use it for maybe just, like, one category. Maybe you find a credit card that does really great gas refunds. Maybe you find one that does travel credit, right? And you're like, all I'm gonna use this credit card for is flights that I was already planning on purchasing or gas that I was already planning on spending money on, right? And just start to build up a little bit of balance and then pay it off every month. Build up a little bit of balance and pay it off every month. And I think when you start to build trust with yourself slowly, then you might feel a little bit more comfortable utilizing it. And also when you start to see that you trust yourself to utilize the cards and you start to see the benefits that you're getting from it, you know, it makes it really easy. Transparently, I'm in a place where, like, I actually just got a debit card mailed to me because I guess they replaced it. But, like, I genuinely haven't swiped a debit card in, like, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years. Like, that's all horrible. I use is credit cards. Yeah, because I was able to, like, make that switch over where I was like, okay, I trust myself now. I can, like, pay this balance off. And now I'm like, give me all the freaking points. Give me all the benefits, right? I'm going to spend this money anyway. That's definitely what I would encourage is, like, start small and just start to build trust to yourself and do it on a card that's going to give you something exciting on the back end.
Yeah. And that's what we talk about all the time is going for those large sign-up bonuses because they're going to give you the most bang for your buck and make you excited because you can sometimes book an entire trip off of just one credit card sign-up bonus. And so that little small win really will help keep you on track.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in a really exciting time as it relates to money where there are all these perks and benefits. And I'm just, again, all about finding ways to take advantage of it. But yeah, again, if you're not someone that's used a credit card, start small and build that self-trust with yourself. And then eventually you'll get to a spot where you're like, okay, I can do this.
So as someone who went from $70,000 in debt to someone who now uses their credit card all the time for the perks and has built all this net worth, where did you start? Like, what were the, like, maybe top three things that you did to start moving that needle to where you are now?
Well, I started panicked and overwhelmed and feeling, like, very desperate and like I was never going to get out of debt. I think that one of the best things I did was just really cultivate a abundance mindset and actually really start to feel grateful for my debt. I know that sounds really silly, but this is one of the biggest things that I preach is finding ways to be really grateful for your debt. What has it done for you? What has it provided for you? What has it allowed you to see, do, experience? And then what has, maybe like, what lessons have you learned, right? If you're like grateful, like, I don't know, I just maxed out a $3,000 credit card to finance a couch. And it's like, okay, well, like maybe you learned that you don't want to finance furniture anymore, right? Like life is just all about learning lessons. So I think giving myself the space to recognize that like I did absolutely the best that I could with the knowledge and resources that I had at that time in my life. And all of the things that I took out debt for provided me so much value in my life. And when you can start to view it like that, I promise you the journey of getting out of debt goes faster. It's significantly more exciting. You avoid it a lot less, which avoidance tendency are so high, especially when we're feeling like, holy shit, this is a lot of debt. Like, what am I gonna do? So mindset, that's why it's like such a foundation of what I preach and what I teach with my clients, because it was absolutely the biggest thing that I could have done in Catalyst that propelled me to get out of debt so quickly. The other side of that is obviously looking at your finances, building a plan, understanding what you can do. So there's two major approaches that people use when they get out of debt. It's the snowball and the avalanche method. So you are either going to stack rank your debt by the largest sum or by the largest interest rate. I recommend doing it by the largest interest rate, right? Starting with credit cards, because that's going to help you get out of debt faster. So that's the avalanche method. The snowball is going to be like starting from your smallest value and working your way up to the biggest value. So if you have a debt that's $2,000 and one that's like, I don't know, $40,000, like working on the small one to the big one. What I did was kind of an approach of both. So I had multiple maxed out credit cards. I had car loans, I had student loans. I had all this stuff that I was looking at approaching. And so I focused on the credit card debt first. And from there, I did the smallest balance. Because once you're looking at credit card debt, whether it's 18, 24%, like, listen, that's just high interest regardless. So I picked the smallest credit card and then worked my way to the biggest balance. So you psychologically have like little wins along the way, which again, right, creating little wins, gamifying it is a really easy like way to just, again, enjoy the journey a little bit better. So that's what I did and just really built a plan. And once I was able to kind of see the plan and see what I was working towards and also the life that I was trying to build, it was easy to just start allocating more money. As I was making more money, I was just like, this is my priority right now. And I see what the big vision is. I see what this is going to play into. I think one of the biggest mindset shifts that really helped me too was once I started to learn about the world of wealth building, I started to realize, and I say this so like kindly, that like the game of getting out of debt felt really small all of a sudden, because I was like, oh my God, I was viewing debt as like Mount Everest when really it's just a hill. And I know that might sound like silly because it can feel so big, but when you realize there's this whole other game of money being played, and once I get out of debt and once I start to prioritize and learn these money management skills that I learned during that chapter of my life, I was able to then go apply it to the stock market, to the real estate industry, and just really start to figure out like, hey, what's the next level of the game, right? So just being able to have that shift there, those are all things that really, really helped me not only prioritize, but kind of stick to the game plan, if you will.
I love it. Play the game so that you can get to the more fun game of building your wealth.
Money is just a game, man. It really is a game.
It is. Yes. All right. So as someone who has travel credit cards, what is your go-to travel credit card?
Oh my gosh. My favorite travel credit card is the Chase Sapphire Reserve card. I could talk about this card forever. It has given me so many perks and benefits. Like, it has a $500 annual fee, which was something that felt really intimidating because this was my first annual fee credit card that I got. But again, when you start to look into the perks that it provides you, it was like a no-brainer. I got $300 of travel credit back immediately once your yearly subscription hit. So it's $500, but as long as you're spending $300, you get that automatically credited back, which is like the price of what, one flight? Like, and anything counts towards that. Flights, Airbnbs, hotels, taxis, Ubers, Lyfts, like all that stuff. So you immediately get $300 back. Game changer, right? So now we're looking at a $200 fee. And then if you look at that, it's okay, I also got access, or I got a priority lounge pass. So I get access to all the VIP lounges and all of the airports for free. I got a reimbursement for my global entry and my TSA pre-check. So now I have global entry and TSA pre-check for the next, 4 or 5 years. for free. So there's just like so many benefits there. And then also Chase has a wonderful transfer relationship with so many different airlines and hotels and partnerships where you could just transfer those points to so many different things. So just, yeah, I could talk for days. I love that credit card.
I am the same way. So I always recommend that you start with the Chase Sapphire Preferred card just because of the low annual fee, that being kind of your get started card. And then when you have kind of figured the game out, Chase is, like she said, an amazing bank for transfer partners. We're talking Hyatt, Marriott, United, Southwest, so many. And then when you're really kind of ready to up your level of travel, you can move on to the Reserve card. So they're both really great. Like she said, if you travel a lot, the lounge access is like the best perk ever.
Wait, literal game changer. Like you literally are like, oh, I have a 2-hour layover. Let me go sit in this VIP lounge where, first of all, you just feel like more of a badass sitting in a VIP lounge. Like, let's be real. And you get free food. You get free drinks. Like, talk about not having to pay for an $8 water bottle at the airport anymore. Like, I'm just going to go to the lounge and fill my water bottle up and get some snacks. And, like, it's just such a money saver. And it's also, obviously, like, just significantly less chaotic when you're in the lounges. So,
yeah, it really changes, like, the entire travel experience when you're flying.
Yeah, absolutely.
So other than credit card points, what would be some of your budget travel tips for someone who's just kind of looking to save money when they're traveling?
Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple. One, back to the high yield savings account. I think this is a really wonderful strategy for just like, if you know you love to travel, right? If you're looking at a yearly perspective or like a quarterly, like you could probably have like a decent guesstimate of maybe how many trips you like to go on, maybe an average cost. And so I'm a real big proponent of planning for that. So I really like to help people with like value-based spending. So figuring out like, what are your priorities? What are your values? What are your goals for the year? And then starting to allocate some of your funds from every paycheck that you get to a high yield savings account specifically for travel, right? So if you know that you're gonna go on X amount of trips or, you know, at least create like a bucket and a baseline for money, like figure out how much of your paycheck or how much of your income you want to allocate to just a travel high yield savings account. So that way, when you are ready to go, you know, you put, you know, I don't know, $500 on your credit card, you have $500 already set aside for this trip. And then you can just go immediately pay it off when your credit card statements due. So you already have the funds allocated to travel versus, right, getting into the position where you're just maxing out your credit card and then you're like, ah, I'll worry about this later. So pre-planning your funds is really, really great. I also really love, this is like a strategy that works really well if you're a type A planner, which I know not everybody is, but if you are, you'll love this. It's looking at your trip and planning it months in advance and breaking it out. Like, okay, this month I'm going to buy the flights. And that way you can go in, buy the flights, pay that off on that, you know, on that credit card statement. Now next month I'm going to go book the hotel. Right now you can go ahead and maybe look at it like that. Now I'm going to book the activities. When you're able to chunk up the spending instead of just putting, you know, $2,000 on your credit card for the entire trip and then being like, oh, I'll just pay some of it off this month, and you start carrying a balance over, chunk it up and pre-plan the trip like that. That way you can really break up the spending, and then by the time you get to the trip, it's like, you know, things have been paid for over time and it doesn't feel necessarily so overwhelming. So those are two things that I really, really love. And then obviously looking at your points and seeing what you can, you know, can you get a flight for free? Can you get a hotel room for free? And all of that stuff, and just kind of seeing how it all plays into each other.
Yes, I love that. I loved how you said too, like individual travel goals and like what, how many trips a year you're taking and look at that kind of thing. Because we see social media all the time and there's a lot of people who do travel points out there and they're traveling 1 to 2 times a month. And we see that and we think like, oh, I need to be taking all of those trips. Like, no, like whatever your individual travel goals are and what you're wanting, if that's one trip a year, like great, plan for that. So I loved how you said that, because we see that highlight reel of everybody else and we think like, oh, that's what we have to do if we want to do travel points. And that doesn't have to be the case.
Oh my gosh, no, not at all. Yeah, I could talk for days on how social media is such a highlight reel and how we just are stuck in this like comparison trap with all these people. Like, live your life the way that you want to live it, travel the way that you want to do it, and just plan ahead for it. That way you're able to like fully enjoy the experience.
Yes, 100%. All right, so where is your favorite place that you have traveled?
Oh my goodness. Ooh, this is tough. I've been to some pretty cool places. I'm not gonna lie, I love traveling. I have such a travel bug. So seeing other cultures and societies and just getting experience to other ways of life, I think is so important for just like worldly perspective. So I've been to some pretty cool places. I think one of my favorite places I've been to is Costa Rica. Me and my, well, husband, fiance, boyfriend at the time, we went a while ago, got to travel around. So we like landed in a big city. We drove out to, we actually rented a car and drove all the way around, which was an experience in itself.
Oh,
if you
wow.
haven't driven a car in another country with very different rules of the road. We drove out and spent some time on the beach, and then we got to go up to the volcano area and hang out in the forest. So it was just like a very diverse trip. We spent some time at the hot springs. So I think Costa Rica was a really, really fun one that we would love to go back to.
Costa Rica is high on my list. I want to go there so bad when my daughter's like a little bit older.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a fun trip for us for sure.
It was so fun. There's so much to see and do there, and everyone was just so nice, like the nicest people ever. So it was a good time.
Nice. Do you have any trips coming up?
I mean, I'm going to Miami and Atlanta in a couple weeks, but like as far as like big worldly trips, my biggest place I want to go to, where it's like loosely on the books. We haven't planned a single thing except for me nonstop talking about it for the last couple years. But I really want to go spend some time in Bali and Thailand next summer. That has been really, really high on my travel trips. And it's one of those places where it's like, once you get over there, it's really affordable. And so I want to go spend yes. some time. Like I would love to convince my husband to spend like a month over there. Like I think that would be really, really fun. So putting it out into the universe, but again, haven't put any logistics behind it, but that's the goal.
Yeah, Bali is very affordable, even in like the points world for like flights and hotels. Like you can get a hotel for like 6,000 points a night over there, which is crazy. So very affordable. I have a lot of women in my world right now that are planning trips to Bali. So it's definitely a dream trip for a lot of people.
I love, you're gonna have to help me figure it out. I also, you know, am like such an advocate, obviously, for the points and the flights. I'm like, okay, we gotta strategize because that's a long flight and I yes. would like to experience that flight in a first class seat. So let's strategize and use these yes. credit cards to our advantage.
Definitely, do not sit in economy ever again,
no.
especially on long haul flights.
Especially on long haul flights. I had the pleasure of just sitting in a United Polaris flight back from Europe this summer. And I was like, this was lovely and extremely dangerous because there's just absolutely no way I'm taking an international flight in economy
yep.
again.
You can't
and it
go back.
Really points, right? So it's like, once you figure it out, you're kind of like, oh, how do
yep.
I keep this going?
Yeah, you can't go back after you sit first class for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any other final tips, tricks, any money things that you want to tell us about?
I would just say, like, you are so worthy of the dream that you're looking to build and the life that you're looking to get there. Money can feel like such an intimidating world, and it can sometimes feel like, holy crap, how am I going to figure this out? And so I guess just like a word of encouragement, like you are going to figure it out. Like if you ever need someone to talk to about money and all the emotions that come along with it, like that's exactly why I started my journey in the space, to make it feel less lonely and more possible and just motivating. So I would just say, like, no matter where you're at in your journey, whether you are clawing your way out of debt, whether you are figuring out how to build wealth, like just remember that it is a game. And when you can start to view it like that and just have fun with it and just remember to just enjoy the journey, that would be, yeah, my biggest piece of advice for you. And yeah, you got this, sister.
I love it so much. All right, Madison, how can we work with you, find you, listen to you, all the things?
Yeah. Okay. Mainly on Instagram. So you can find me at the Madison J. I also host a podcast called Busy Getting Better, which is all about being unapologetic about your personal growth. We talk about personal development. We talk about mindset tips. We talk about money information, really giving you all the information that you need to go out and build the life that you can't stop daydreaming about. And then if you are looking for support and coaching on your own money journey, I do offer one-on-one coaching. My program is called Lux. It's really about helping you design your luxurious life, because your dream life is going to look so much different than mine and so much different than everybody else's. And I think when you can understand how to utilize money as a tool to build a life that you can't stop daydreaming about, that's when it becomes really fun and really exciting. So I would love to help you on your journey. If you're looking for some one-on-one support there, just DM me on Instagram and we can kind of talk a little bit more about it and see if it's a good fit for you.
Amazing. We'll have all of those links here in the show notes. So definitely go give her a follow. Her podcast is amazing. Definitely go take a listen. And thank you so much, Madison, for being here today. It was such a good conversation.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I will talk to you soon.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a great day and I will catch you next week.